And away we go.
The 1940s, golden age of radio, whoa-oh-oh. Turn back that dial and stay for a while. The times are a-changing. A podcast, a new sound, taking it back. You hear that? You hear that? We're on a new track, a new track.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Second Golden Age of Radio with your host, Richard Templeman. That's yours truly. Today we have a special guest performer with us and friend, Brad Hurley. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard, for inviting me to be on this very cool and interesting show that you put together, that you put your passion and love into, and bringing a spotlight onto a media that has, and an art form that has sort of been lost a little bit, unfortunately, but it's good to see that there's people who care enough to bring it back into the spotlight.
Well, thank you so much, Brand. That is very sweet of you to say. Talk to me about your old-time radio experience.
Well, admittedly, I don't have a lot of experience with radio in particular. I do like the old time sound of radio, and the dramatizations are always fun to listen to. I remember I had an experience when I was driving home in my car, and one of the old, I think it was War of the Worlds radio story came on, and they were actually talking about it. It wasn't the thing itself, but how it had created such a scare back in the day, and I thought that was so cool because of the power that that storytelling had to really engage so many of its audience members. So I do think that radio storytelling was a very, very awesome medium in its day, and very interesting, and it still is to go back and listen to, especially because a lot of that storytelling aspects you can see sort of in today's storytelling.
Yeah, War of the Worlds was a very classic, miscomprehended radio show because they did it in the style of a news story. So breaking news, there are alien ships coming down, and then if people tuned in a little too late to the radio program, they got actually scared. So that's a cool phenomenon, that the dramatization was more realistic, that people thought it was real. But yeah, I love the golden age of radio, and you're right, it's lost to our memories, but luckily they transcribed so many episodes. We have thousands and thousands of broadcasts to listen to, including this one, because Brandt likes horror stories. We are going to be covering an episode of NBC Presents Short Story.
NBC Presents Short Story.
Now, this was a half-hour program, and it offered dramatizations.
A story by a Pulitzer Prize winner, the man who holds the chair of poetry at the Library of Congress. He's poet, teacher, sometime tennis reporter for the New Yorker magazine.
Of contemporary American short stories by famed writers like William Faulkner, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Shirley Jackson, and Edgar Allan Poe. So lots of existing stories, but they're dramatized for our entertainment and enjoyment. They broadcast the show from Hollywood. The series premiered February 21st, 1951 on NBC, with an adaptation of 50 Grand by Ernest Hemingway. The script editor for the series was Hugh Kemp. He supervised the scripts that were by George Lefferts and Ernest Canoy and all other types of people. The series was first heard Wednesdays 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so late. And then they moved them to Fridays at 8 p.m., not as late. That first series continued until July 13th, and the dramas were directed by Andrew C. Love. The supervision of the production was by Margaret Cuthbert and Wade Arnold. The announcers were Don Stanley, and John Wade. So that was the first run. Apparently there was a second and third series, and the second one moved to Fridays at 9:30 p.m. So the second series ran from November 23rd, 1951 to March 14th, 1952. The third series ran from April 11th to May 30th, 1952. If you put all the series together, I believe it went from 51 to 53 altogether. So this should be exciting. The episode we are going to be listening to today is called The Oblong Box. And that's an Edgar Allan Poe story adapted for the radio. So without further ado, we can talk about our preliminary thoughts on the series. Then we'll listen to the episode. Then we'll dramatize our own version, a newer version, or an improv version of our own. Thank you, guys. BRB. Bring radio back.
In the realm of horror and mystery, or perhaps I should say the macabre, Edgar Allan Poe has few equals. Many are the classic stories he has written in this vein. Among them, Murders in the Rue Morgue, The Pit and the Pendulum, The Fall of the House of Usher, The Telltale Heart, The Black Cat, and the list goes on and on. Today's presentation, The Oblong Box, first published in 1844, certainly takes its rightful place among this impressive collection.
The Oblong Box, which was based on a story that Edgar Allan Poe wrote, and they dramatized it in this, and I found it very interesting.
There she is, Emiodas. Five aboard. Very well, turn about. We'll drop line and take them on.
Time by the mainsail!
When we listen to the episode, we're on a ship, I think, and they're talking about a story about this crazy cuckoo guy and how he was, like, had some screws loose and he had the most beautiful wife and everyone wanted to meet her and she just was so gorgeous, but he hid her away because he didn't want her to stray, didn't want her to cheat on him. And then we found out in the end, he loved her so much, he took her from this world and put her in an oblong box. And then that oblong box, who knows, still haunting people to this day. Weird, right? And I guess it's in the horror genre, so they're trying to scare us. And it does feel like one of those stories that has been told and revised through the years.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did send me some traps, that link to that website. I finished The Oblong Box and I was so interested in it, or just that genre, the radio shows, that I listened to a few more, and they were all really entertaining, really interesting. It's kind of surprising because, I mean, back in the day, you know, storytelling wasn't as old as it is now, but like they still really managed to like come up with some very fascinating and interesting stories. I was just surprised at how sort of plot twisty that Edgar Allan Poe was able to be with his story about the oblong box. Yeah, I was really intrigued. I did not guess the ending. And for something that you maybe view as a little more simplistic back in the day, like their storytelling, they didn't need to conceive all of these as much of a fancy plot twist because, you know, not everything had been done. Today, when you see a murder mystery or a horror, you know, it's like so much has already been done. So I was kind of expecting maybe like not necessarily as much of a surprise, but I was still really, really surprised and shocked that because it goes that the main character actually does meet the supposed wife of this guy on deck, but she's like really not good look. She's ugly in the story, but then you come to find out later that that was actually the guy's maid that he was pretending was his wife so that nobody became suspicious. So very good, very well written, very impressed.
Yeah, he did. He had that maid kind of posing as his wife, and she did the job of distracting the others. That was awesome. Oh, I'm glad you should tell me more about the other radio shows you listened to. Like, were their plots similar to that? Did they have more twists or less? I also thought, for an olden time story, it was pretty intricate and that made it cool to listen to. It made me think, when we do our own little improvised version of the of this type of genre, what we can do with it. Like, it could be pretty much the same. I usually have like modern twists and technology in it, and that helps too.
Yeah, I think I listened to one or two more, and they were a little less, I guess maybe plot twisty, as you might say. There was one about a couple who goes to a cabin, and they're warned that there's like a Custer's Revenge type ghost that haunts it, and he takes revenge on those who stay at the cabin because he got left out in the cold by the previous owner of the cabin, and he froze to death. And so, and then the story just kind of goes on to talk about that. That's the one I remember mostly. But yeah, I'm totally up for it. It is a little, it's a little intimidating that it's good with its plot twists, because when you're making up stories on the spot, you have to, trust both your, you know, the person telling the story with you in these ways. Improv, if for anyone who's familiar, is going to be like, sort of similar to what you do on this show, I think. So, but you got to really trust your storytelling partner, and just trust that, you know, you will find the story as you go.
That's a really good introduction to what we're about to do as well. So I like that. If we're thinking in our heads, there was a man who was married to a beautiful wife, and the plot twist is he was married to her and loved her so much he rather her be deceased than be alive. Then that one in the cabin that you were talking about, that's kind of cool to sprinkle in there, that there was hauntings because a guy froze to death outside the cabin, yada yada yada. So ghosts and death and scary and all trying to make it modern. I think we can just start. I mean, we don't have to overthink it, and then we'll trust that we can improvise something within reason.
Yeah, absolutely. So whether you want me to start or if you prefer, please let me know. This is your show. I'm simply your humble guest. Glad to be here, but I'll let you decide how you want to proceed.
We are on the shore of a cruise ship, probably a carnival cruise. There's entertainers, Broadway performers about to disembark, and all the guests on the cruise ship are there, and everyone's really excited for a very normal adventure on the seas. Little do they know, they're going to get a lot more than they bargained for.
Jerry Sullivan, how long has it been since we've seen each other? What are the chances that we met up on this cruise ship?
Well, I'll be. I think I haven't seen you since college graduation 1985, and I dare say that was many years ago. It's so good to see you. How's your family? I see on Facebook that you have so many children, and I would have commented on your pictures. I just pressed the like button because that's easier.
Oh, they're great. I wish I could have brought them on the cruise, but unfortunately, the cruise costs these days can be quite pricey. Only enough for me and the missus. Oh, here she comes. Janet, I want you to meet my old friend.
Well, Janet, good to meet you. Al has told me so much about you, mainly on Facebook. But, it's amazing that you two found each other and bore so many children. I'm so proud of you guys. Good to meet you.
Oh, well, it is a pleasure to meet you. Honey, you didn't even introduce me to your friend. Oh, pardon me. This is my old friend, Jerry. We met back in college, where we were both study mates. We barely got through those science courses, huh, old chap?
Oh, yes. I know nothing about the sciences anymore. astronomy and chemistry and biology. It was all too much. We should have gotten BAs instead of BSs, am I right? Oh, Al. Oh, anyway, Janet, you seem so sweet and nice. I'm glad you took care of my buddy.
Hey, if I was a more paranoid man, I might think you were flirting. Oh, honey, stop it. Jerry, speaking of which, where's your missus? I saw on Facebook that you got married, but there was no photos posted of the wedding. I was hoping to maybe like them as well, because let's face it, that's all we really do today to show we care.
Oh, Al, I forgot to mention, she is, you know, you might be paranoid that I'm hitting on your wife, but my wife is paranoid of being stalked on the internet, so she told me I'm not allowed to post any pictures of her, and even though she exists, I can't really prove it to anyone, because she is so nervous of the paparazzi, of people finding out her identity and identity theft. It's crazy, but when you're in love, you kind of have to put up with things. I mean, probably not you two. You probably are normal, but I mean, my wife too is normal. She only lets me refer to her by her first initial S, but S and I are very happy together.
Well, that sounds quite crazy. Well, when do we get to meet this lady? Janet just loves taking pictures with celebrity and posting them on her Instagram, don't you, honey? Oh, yes. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Well, ever since S completed her Broadway run 5 years ago, she's been too nervous to come out in public, and I'm sure pictures and autographs would be out of the question. I can maybe arrange a visit where she's kind of in the shadows, and she'll have a voice changer on, if that is something you'd be interested in.
Hello. I am the wife. You can call me S. I am appreciative of a visit, and I don't get many visitors. Thank you for coming to the quarters and letting me dim the lights. I hear that you two are old college chums, and this is your wife.
Well, with a voice like that, I'm a little surprised she made it on Broadway. I'm just kidding. Oh, Janet, what's the matter? Oh. It looks like she's going into one of her trances. I didn't tell you this before, but you see, my wife Janet is a little bit of a medium. Now, if you don't know what that means, it means that sometimes she communicates with spirits on the other side, and for some reason, Janet, are you okay? I sense something. I sense pain and hurt and sadness coming from these quarters, coming from the dark corner. I'm sorry. I sometimes go into these trances and communicate with spirits from the other side. You'll have to forgive me, and apologies if I do it again in the future. It is lovely to meet your wife, S, was it? You have such a charming way about you.
You two are charming as well. I would appreciate it if you didn't trudge up my pain, though. Because it is only I who have the pain. That is why I am going through extreme measures not to be psychically read or seen by actual people, dead or alive. So even though I'm trying to be hospitable, I do not like your extrasensory perceptions of the other side. I want the other side to stay where...
Now, honey, let's not scare the guests. Wow, it looks like both of us have wives with some weird traits. I'll have to talk to you later about this, but it's making me nervous. Oh, but anyway, honey, I'm glad you met my friend and his wife, and Janet, thanks for that reading.
Now that introductions have been made on both sides,
why don't we each retire to our respective cabins? Well, you're already in yours, but I think me and Janet will go back to ours and freshen up a little bit before the cruise dinner at 6. Hope to see you there. Are you both coming?
Well, I'll be sure to come, and if I can find some sort of costume for S, she might attend to.
As long as the public does not know my identity, I will attend.
Later that evening, at 6 o'clock, we join Al, Janet, Jerry, and S. S is dressed in all black with a veil over her face.
I found the most perfect dress that covers up my identity so I can be in public once again. I miss the limelight, but I'm more nervous about all the people that are here to hurt me.
And I'm glad to be here, too.
Well, me and Al are just so glad that you could join us. Back home, we barely have any friends to speak of because of all our children, and all they all get scared away. Yes, speaking of celebrities, ironically, I saw a plaque coming up on the way to this ship. And did you know they used to host famous celebrities from the 1930s on this very ship? Unfortunately, it had a huge crash and many of the guests died.
I remember everything about that crash. I remember reading the plaque and studying everything about that crash, and it was something that happened in history that I did not experience actually, but I feel very strongly toward it. In fact, I'm sure many of the guests and performers that were on the ship were scared and full of pain and eventually full of water.
Well, and the crash wasn't even the end of it, is the thing. Oh, what was her name on the plaque? Oh, that's right. Sassy DeBell was one of the most famous stars of the 1930s, and she was in that crash. She got thrown overboard and drowned before she got to perform her grand performance, which she was scheduled to make at the end of the cruise. Oh, so crazy, don't you think, Al?
I'm sorry.
What were you saying? I was just finishing my lobster thermidor. Oh, Al, never mind. By the way, how did you two meet? Anyways, I'm just dying to hear your story.
Well, come to think of it, we actually met on a similar carnival cruise 10 years ago. In fact, they were throwing a party that was themed in the 30s, a 30s party. And so everyone was dressed up like people did back then, and it was kind of in, you know, paying tribute to those cruise ships of yesteryear. Isn't that right, S?
Yes. I remember it like it was so many years ago. Even though it was only 10 years ago, it did feel like it was the 30s. And we met, and I was so beautiful, and it was before people were taking pictures of me and trying to steal my identity. I introduced myself, and we talked about the stars of the past. We talked about Sassy, how she was one of the best stars out there, and she was killed in her prime before she could really have a rising star on the Great White Way. Anyway, we fell in love with each other and got married on the ship, and we've been coming back every year since.
Well, that is just a fantastic... Oh, I think she's going into one of her trances again. Oh my goodness, I feel so much longing, some sort of longing to do something or to finish something. Oh, someone or something has unfinished business. Oh, I'm sorry. You will just have to forgive me. These come on just sort of off and on, but Usually not this frequent. We must have some crazy spirits on this boat. I'm kidding, of course.
Oh, yes. Spirits. I'm so sure they exist. I mean, not to put down your speaking with the infinite or whatnot. I'm just saying, I'm sure there's not that many spirits on board, I think.
If you start communicating with spirits, you don't know what you're going to make enter into this ship. I'm not hungry anymore. If you'll all excuse me, it's been nice being in public, but all these stories of ghosts are getting me feeling a bit high with anxiety.
Oh, yes, I too am feeling a little exhausted from all this communicating. S, why don't I escort you back to your cabin, and we'll let the boys have some time to themselves, and then we can do a little girl talk.
I don't see any other way out of it, so I will allow it.
Oh, I feel like you know me so well. All right, well, we'll see you two later back at the cabin. Well, at least I'll see you, Al, anyways. Okay, honey. Just remember to put the allergy pills on the nightstand where I can find them. You know me and my allergies. Well, anyways, S, let's go. Oh, here, let me show you where the exit is. Oh, your hand is freezing, darling. You need to get a blanket or something.
Well, Janet, I'm sorry. My blood runs cold. You might call me cold-blooded. Cold hands, warm heart. If you excuse me, I didn't mean to startle you.
Oh, don't you worry about a thing. I just want to make sure that you're okay. By the way, what is it that you do for a living?
My joke is that I live for a living. Ha 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 ha. Because I am unemployed, I have to rely on Jerry's income, which is fulfilling to keep the house clean.
Wait, I'm so sorry. I forgot. You are a celebrity. How could I have forgotten that? That was my fault. I apologize. Well, what kind of stuff do you do?
Well, before, when I was in the public eye, I was in Oklahoma. And before that, I was in Showboat. And before that, I was on vaudeville. I mean, I was in a vaudeville-type show. Actually, I just did revivals of really old plays and some remakes of silent film features that are new.
Oh, that is so ironic. I know, I promised to stop talking about ghosts because it was making you so upset, but I remember on the plaque reading about that actress, and it said that she was in Oklahoma and all those other things you mentioned. And it also said that she used to go up on stage and perform a dance she invented called the Oblong Box Trot. And it was like her most famous performance, and she would always be asked to do it. And I think she was gonna perform on that cruise ship that got, before it crashed and she died. My goodness, I'm sorry to keep bringing that up.
No, that's all right. I think history is important and we should learn from our mistakes. An oblong box trot. You don't suppose it looked anything like this, do you?
Oh, wow. Well, I can't be sure, but for my money, that would certainly be some sort of box, oblong box trot. I'm not much of a dancer myself. Me and Al have tried to take dance classes, but we just never had the time with all our many children.
That is a shame that it kept you out of the public eye. Now that some of your children are grown, I'm sure you could return to those dance classes and theater performance classes. I would be happy to tutor you.
Oh my gosh, that would be so great of you. I don't suppose there's any chance maybe you could teach me some of those moves you just showed me, and then maybe we could perform it for the boys later on.
I would be happy to teach you what I believe could be an oblong box trot. And we will perform it for our husbands tonight. I'll make all the arrangements, don't you worry. Let's practice it now.
Oh, well, that would just be so awesome. I haven't done anything special for Al in a long time, and I think this cruise is an excellent opportunity to do that. So I guess I'll just text him that they should be meet us in the ballroom at, I don't know, midnight, maybe?
Yes. You text your husband, Al, and I will text my husband, Jerry. And a midnight show in the ballroom will be just the trick.
Meanwhile, we go back to the gentleman sitting in the dining hall, who will soon receive the surprise of their life in just a few hours. Well, Jerry, it's been great sitting here with you. My wife just texted me and said she wants both of us to see something special at midnight, which is only a couple hours away. Well, I guess we have some time to kill.
Why, yes. You know, I think we should take some shots at the bar and then make our way slowly to the ballroom. Oh, would you look at that? I got a text as well, and it looks like... Oh, they're going to do something so surprising. If S is involved, I just really can't wait.
Well, I guess there's not much else to do but make some small talk while we go and get those shots. So, I know you're into entertainment review business. How has that been doing entertainment review? Wasn't it true that your great-great-great-grandpa used to review entertainment as well back in the day?
It's funny you should mention that. My great-great-grandfather also passed away in a strange cruise ship crash. He was supposed to review a brand new dance by the great Sassy DeBell. And, you know, it turns out that he also drowned in that crash. I didn't put two and two together until you mentioned that, and it's been kind of a family tradition to learn the ways of entertainment reviews, and I'll have to say, these shows nowadays are full of sex and drugs. It's a shame they can't be innocent and cool like they were in the past.
Well, that is fascinating, Jerry, to learn that your great-great-grandpa did all of that. I mean, in some ways, I'm sure you're probably finishing what he started all those years ago. What, carrying on the entertainment review business? Oh, would you look at that? It's already midnight. How time flies when you're catching up with old friends. Well, I guess we should probably make our way to the ballroom. What do you say, old pal?
Well, old pal, I say we should go to the ballroom, and to the ballroom we will go. It was there at the ballroom where four souls met, and they were in for a surprise. At least three of those souls were in for a surprise.
Yes, indeed. A surprise of a lifetime for at least three of them. As Jerry and Al took their seats in an aisle that had been previously set up by their two significant others, the lights dimmed, and all of a sudden the lights arose on two ladies dressed in 1930s garb.
They started moving their feet backwards and forwards in a shape that was in an oblong maneuver, an oblong box shape indeed. The feet were going backwards and forwards. It was mesmerizing.
This went on for many minutes as both ladies showed their stuff. And both of them were moving so elegantly across the floor that their husbands just stared in amazement. They were so shocked by the performance that they probably didn't even hear all of the clapping that was happening around them, or the sounds of clapping that was taking place as the performance from so long ago was finally being finished.
It was at that moment that S had an essence shoot forth from her body. As it turned out, the spirit and life force of Sassy DeBell was trapped inside of her, and in this time vortex, a fulfilling destiny of the ship from yesteryear was happening. It made S split off from her possessed spirit, and also the spirit of Jerry's great 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 grandfather James did also split off from his body, and they noticed, the performers noticed, the audience noticed that there was more spirits about, and they couldn't tell if they were actually back in time or in the present day. It was confusing.
And as the ladies both took their final bows after their performance, all of the spirits ascended through the roof of the cruise ship, and they all stood there and just sat for a bit in amazement at what they had just seen. After Al had finally shaken off his amazement, he turned to Jerry. "Well, Jerry, as your official profession, what did you think?"
"Well, I say that was a performance that could bring back the dead. It was so enthralling."
They all shared a very hearty laugh at that. "Oh, Janet's breaking into another one of her trances. I feel some sort of sense of happiness and fulfillment, finally. It feels like this has been a long time coming. Oh, I'm so sorry I broke into another one of those."
"Well, perhaps it was for good reason that you were breaking into so many trances. Then we wouldn't have such happy feelings all around us."
"Well, this experience has really opened my eyes, honey. Janet, I want you to pursue your career in this. You've always wanted to be an actress, and now you finally got your chance. Why don't you do that and I'll become a stay-at-home father? And Jerry, any last thoughts or words of wisdom?"
"Well, being a husband of this generation, I don't want to have the final say. What about you, S? Would you like to have the final say in this experience?"
"Well, I don't think I'll be needing my voice changer anymore.
I feel like a new woman, and I just wanted to thank all of you for being a part of this. I was so bogged down for many years, for 10 years even, since we've been married. I've been feeling this weight and this spirit that now I know was Sassy DeBell. And now I'm ready to go back into the public eye. And if Janet, you and I want to be a duo on Broadway or wherever we can audition for."
"It's dinner time."
"It's dinner time on the cruise ship. I think that's all I have to say about that. Oh, dinner, a midnight dinner on the cruise ship would be an excellent way to end this story. And, you know, I want to fulfill my dreams on stage with you, Janet. And thank you, Jerry and Al, for giving us this opportunity. And I'm going to start a Facebook and an Instagram. And my real name is Susie. Susie DeBell. It's right. Sassy was my great-great-grandmother all along."
Susie and Janet went on to be viral YouTube stars shortly thereafter. But none of them ever forgot the spooky, scary, but ultimately happy ending on that cruise ship that fateful night.
"It was a pleasure having you on the podcast, and I would love to invite you back for a future episode of the Second Golden Age of Radio. So look forward to that as well."
"Yeah, that was great. That was awesome. I'll be sure to look up your show as soon as I can. And thanks again. It was good seeing you too.